Okay, let's start. Officially, we're on page 167. We're in the sugya, specifically of trying to translate, downgrade, download, live in the way of mitzvahs, live mitzvahs, Torah, and mitzvahs in the way of bitachon. So I was thinking on the way here, I was thinking that, you know, we're coming to Pesach. Pesach was the first of the exiles that we had. And it was so powerful that it happens to be, it's not even part of the four. You know, there's Arba Golios, there's four exiles. Mitzrayim's not even one of them, even though, how could you leave them off the list? And the answer that is sometimes given is that it's the overriding Golos of all the Golios. That there's a little Mitzrayim, a little Golos Mitzrayim in every single Golos. Parsumadai, Yavon, and Edom, Bavel. So what was that Golos? So there's different ways to say it. But the Arizal tells us that the Golos of Mitzrayim is the Golos Hadas. Das. What does that mean? Again, everything could be said in many ways. But the way we're going to say it here, and this, you know, person should always know there's many ways to say everything. Das is a faculty that comes after Chachma and Bina. Chachma and Bina is where you learn, you educate yourself, you try to understand. You hear something fresh, you hear something new, you try to learn some more about it, try to analyze it. There's many types of information that we're supposed to live by. Sometimes it's just stam, it's a piece of information, something new, something interesting, fine. But sometimes we hear things, small, sometimes big, that eventually we have to connect the head and the heart, and we have to end up, and then to the limbs, and to live by that information. There's a whole process in the pnimius of an Adam. We can go through the spheres, we can go through the process of how it goes from before it even hits your brain to your actual hands and legs. But in terms of what we're discussing, the Inyan of Das, and many people have heard this before, is the transfer, is the passageway from the head, the understanding, to the emotional self. Everything we talk about, the Bitachon, according to the Chovos of Vavos, everything we're trying to do is connect to our Das, is to utilize Das. That's what we once said, Da, just in Remez, this is just a Remez, Da is 74, Bitachon is 75, right? You could always add one, with the kolo, so Da plus one is Bitachon. That's the Iker knowledge is to live a life of Bitachon. Now, when a person has a Golas Hadas, that means what? He might know a lot, or he might even do a lot, but this part of his body, the heart, is not properly connected. It's not connected to his brain. Because the Das, again, Das is the transfer from what one learns, fresh, new ideas, to the heart. How the heart is supposed to respond and react. And if we don't have that connection, there's going to be a disconnect. Simple as that. Therefore, the heart is going to, the heart also has the ability to run on its own. We'll call it the Nefesh Bahamas. Right? The heart is also, it's a piece of physicality. It's an organ in the body. And there's two ways you can live with that heart. It can be left to its own devices, its own thoughts, which is most people in the world are living. However the heart takes them, they go. And then there's those, could be Goyim, who try to be sholeit, who try to control the heart. How do you control the heart? The heart doesn't have a brain. Through the koach of the mind, through das, understanding something, wanting to live by it, figuring out how this works out, the maisa, how do I do this? It's a process over time. In that way, you can give your heart a new brain, which is really the whole sugya of Chovos Halavavos. That's the whole Sefer, Chovos Halavavos. Everything we're speaking about in the Sefer is something that we're thinking about. So why are they called Chovos Halavavos and not Chovos HaMoach? Because the tachlis is to get to the heart. But you have to get to the heart through the proper understanding, the proper passageways. And then you have to want it, and you have to chazer it over, and then you have to try to connect to it. So Golas Hadas is when you can know a lot, but not live by it. Right? We knew we were Jews, or we knew that we were from Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, and Mitzrayim. We knew that, but we couldn't live. We were enslaved We didn't have the ability to serve. We were disconnected from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He wasn't revealed. We only pick up the story, you know, 210 years, whatever the number is, not that many, but, you know, over 100 years into the story of the Shibud, we hear, oh, Hashem says, let's go. People are going to go. Moshe Rabbeinu, go. But we don't hear for the first 150 years when Klal Yisrael was, you know, maybe not Shevet Levi, but the rest of Klal Yisrael, what were they? Were they davening? They were learning. What were they doing? Nothing. They're just serving a master. Even though, do you believe, is there a God? Well, yeah, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, they had a God, and so therefore there is one. But where is he? Why aren't you serving him? I don't know. I don't know. Galus Adas is when we know a lot. Everybody knows so much, so much. We could read books and books and books and Sfarim and Sfarim and Sfarim. But if it never translates into even, I'm not saying action necessarily, but heart action. Something that we feel, something that we connect with, we feel, we desire, that world. Then it's called a Galus Adas. So the whole sugya of bitachon is an inyan of the whole inyan of bitachon, according to the Chovos of Avos, is trying to take understandings of emuna, chachma and bina, and break through the galus hadas, make it a geula. A geula is when you can live by the truths that you know. We all believe in God, and we all want to live a happy life, trusting and believing, and just being happy. And it's okay if things in the world are crashing. Al tidag, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take care. We'll do what we have to do. We all want to live that way. Why don't we? Because there's a little parluchs and there's a little, you know, sarmashkims and all the whatever that's getting into deeper terms. But paru standing in the way. Mi Hashem asher eshem b'kolo. Mi Hashem asher eshem b'kolo. Who's Hashem that I should listen to him? So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I'll show you. And then what did paru do? No, I'm not listening. So he knew. You can't say after Dan Sardei Kinim, he didn't know. Chochma, Bina, did he believe that there was a bar? He has to. But the Das, that was, Paro also was living in Gals Das. That's why the Gals of Mitzrayim called Gals Das, because that's Paro, that's how he was living, that's who he was. You could show him a Kaddish Baruch on a screen, which Kaddish Baruch, that's what he was doing. He literally revealed himself, and Paro was still able to say, yeah, but I don't want to let them go. I don't want to live that way in my heart. It's too hard. I can't do it. I can't let go. I can't surrender. I can't surrender. I can't give up what I've built. My ego, my way of thinking, my power, my shit. That is Golas Mitzrayim. It's called Golas Adas. So everything we're doing in this Sefer, I mean, in Yiddishkeit in general, but we're really learning it here as a chachma, being educated, is to not be like Paro. Surrender to a Kaddish Baruch Hu's way. You have to do your shtadlis, live a happy life. But we have to learn to surrender, break through from what we know down to our heart, into our yadayim, and live a flowing life. Not getting stuck somewhere in the neck. That's not how I like it. That's not how I like it. I want it to be a different way. If I were God, I would choose it this way. It's very nice. Paro tried that. Didn't work. Tried that a long time ago. But let the system just flow. Flow. It's going to rain some days. We know that. I've said that many times. It's going to rain. It's going to be very cold. It's going in the weather, right? We can't choose the weather. We're all waiting for this week. Oh, Nisan's here, the Aviv. But there's harsh winters, and sometimes the days are really hot. Right? We all want it to be like 65, sunny, but not too hot. Not like so when we walk, we don't sweat. We just want it to be like perfect. It's like 5 days of that the whole year. And then even when we have that, we're like, oh my gosh, it's going to be so cold tomorrow. We're looking at the news. Already looking at the weather for the next day, as you're supposed to be enjoying the weather that you've been waiting for your whole life. Oh, Tuesday's going to be rain. There goes that. Can't even enjoy what you have. Galus Adas. The Galus Adas. Because it has to be exactly the way you want it to be. And this also, in a very, like we've been discussing this again, in a very subtle and tricky way, is also trickles down into our Torah and our mitzvahs. Where one thinks, no, Torah and mitzvahs, I have to, it's my responsibility. Kaddish Baruch gave us a big book, 613 mitzvahs, I have to learn, I have to daven, I have to raise my children, I have to send them to school, with the expensive tuitions. I have to do this, all this stuff. Pesach's coming and Sukkot, and it's all me. That's on me. Right? I get it, the weather, I get it. That I can't control. I should just be happy. But when it comes to the Pesach Seder, when it comes to shopping, it's on me. I have to make sure I get as many boxes of karyot and whatever the kids want, and I have to get it all earlier. I'm going to go, there's not going to be any left, and my life's going to be over. And then for the stress, there's responsibility. And if the Seder doesn't go exactly the way I want, if it's not like that holy Seder that I once heard Rebbe say about the Baal Shem, and everybody's elevated and flying, and their hands are crossed in meditation, and my kids are throwing things at each other, and matzah's being broken on the floor, chocolate's being mushed in with their shoes right in the bottom.
I heard that about you and your Seder.
You heard it, you should come. It's gewaldig. See, you could have all that crazy stuff, but if you release, like we learned Sichas Aran Beis, I think it was 2 weeks ago, Kadosh Baruch Hu, all my movements, it's on you. It's you. Therefore, I'm at ease. However this thing goes, this Seder, this Davening, this Luvin Esrog, however this thing goes, it's your choice. So I'm just going to walk calmly, B'tzmimis and Pshitis, in a simple, wholesome way, trying to serve you, Kadosh Baruch Hu, and however it goes, that's up to you. So I'm just going to be besimcha in that. You want my kids to be throwing spitballs at each other? So be it. A person's going to think, oh my gosh, if I don't give over every single last of our Torah, at the Agadah, my kids are going to go off the derech. If I don't give over every single nekuda that I learned in every single Agadah, there's 8,000 of them. Anybody ever been to this farm store around Pesach time? Every year, I go to farm stores, you know. There's another 50 Haggadahs. So my ha'ara is, in this parenthetical, is that the Haggadahs that people buy is the most popularly written sefer, which is the most least used. You read like 3 pages of it, and by the second you're on like the third line, the kid's like, what are you talking about, Ta? All right, next. Just use the Maxwell House Coffee Haggadah. It has a little Hebrew, has a little English. Yeah, I know, I was there back then. The Neville Hotel, anybody? Back in the, there you go. I'm dropping, you know, my history a little bit. Okay, we have a head nod. Okay, very good. Just use a Pshitas and Tumimus, your entire year, you know, of your servant Kadosh Baruch Hu is leading up to this point. You already know everything. You don't need extra Divrei Torah. Just be your God-loving, God-fearing self. I've come. We add pressure to ourselves. All the extra stuff, because again, if I don't give over every Divrei Torah, you know, my kid's a Chacham now, but I don't know, maybe he next year is going to be the Rasha. He's a Yishadei Einu Yudei L'Shol. I want to make him a Tam. I want to make him a Chacham. I want this, I want that. I want it to be perfect. I want this. Nothing should spill ever. Nothing should spill on the table ever. Crazy. What kind of crazy logic is that? They're going to spill all the time. So you could be besimcha in the spill, or you could be trying to control every single spill. To let it go, because at the end of the day, Kadosh Baruch Hu decides how it goes. And maybe he dafka wanted the cup to spill to test your patience. Maybe he dafka wanted the cup to spill so you can educate your child, and even though your cup spilled, you could still be besimcha. How do you know? Maybe that's a bigger lesson than the Dvar Torah you were going to read on, you know, Mitchila of the Avarazara. How do you know? How do you know what a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants? The answer is you don't know. So just do your best calmly. Just prepare. But the Iker preparation is Kadosh Baruch Hu, whatever you want. Isn't that the whole point of Yitzhak Mitzrayim? He takes that Mitzrayim to make him a God for us. That's the whole point. Not to give us the reins to make ourselves gods. Take your lachem. This farm say, take your lachem. You know, lachem means yours. Chatzi lachem, chatzi lachem. Take your lachem. All the things that you think you have acquired and you can control. No, lelokim. Take all your lachems, all that you think. Lachem backwards. What's backwards? Lachem.
Melech.
Or, yeah, melech. Take all your thing, your malchus. You think you're such a big melech. You run everything. You know everything. Take all that. Lelokim. Give it to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Enough of this. That's the point of Yitzhak Mitzrayim. See, Paro was a melech, and he held on to his lachem. He thought he was the God. The whole point of Mitzrayim is to take that lachem, that malchus, that Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's really on you. That's a geula.
Can you repeat that, please, sir?
Which part? The whole point of Mitzrayim?
Yeah.
Of Yitzhak Mitzrayim?
Yeah, I'm not as bright as I should.
That's not true either. You're exactly where you're supposed to be. You're supposed to take all your your thoughts and feelings that you're the melech, you're the king. Your lachem means yours. Take what you think is yours and give it to Lelokim. Asher utzeisi eschem me'eretz Mitzrayim l'yos lachem Lelokim. Actually, I just made that up. I'm not sure if that actually says in its forum, but does it? What my? No, it is. It is. And the chaf is an end the chaf. Lachem is melech.
No, it's the same, right?
Same. No.
Mem chaf lamed. It's not mem.
No. It's not exactly. No, switch on the letters. Switch on the letters. Yeah. Yeah, switch around. Okay. So that's what we're going for in the Gula. And specifically now, we're right at this sugya, right by Pesach time, which is perfect. So let's get back into the Sefer. Now, we're discussing here mitzvahs. The Chavos Zoah says, and we've said it many times, we have to continue to say it. We have to continue chazring it over because we want to get the Chachma and the Bina to the Das. There's three parts of every action. We're discussing mitzvahs here. We will discuss non-mitzvahs again soon. Three parts. I'm going to give them names. Number one is the choice to do the thing. We're going to call that Bechira. I'm going to give it a name. Bechira. Number two, you have to try to execute that which you try to do. You said, I'm going to go to shul today. Good. You got to get up, got to set the alarm, got to walk there, got to drive there, whatever it is. That's called the hishtadlis, right? Bechira is your hishtadlis of the mind. Then there's actual physical hishtadlis. And then what's the third part?
Hashem's finishing.
The Gemara Maisa, the completion, the actual asiyas ha-mitzvah, that's up to Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's already where bitachon kicks in. Bechira to choose to do the mitzvah, it's on you. We're going to go into that again now. The hishtadlis to get up and to do what you need to do to fulfill that which you thought you should do and you chose to do, that's on you, as much as you can muster. But whatever you bring into the Maisa, whatever happens at that Maisa, at the Seder, at the Davening, at the whatever it is, the Maisa is up to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Up to Kodesh Baruch Hu. And that's where we have to relinquish all of our responsibility, all of our stress. At that last moment, up until the mitzvah, you need to work hard. But not with the stress that I have to work hard to perform. That it's the performance is on me. I have to put my all in because that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to do.
You definitely have to consider the Hashem even at the Hishtadlis stage. Otherwise you could overwork.
Of course. Of course. Of course. Even in Hishtadlis, as we've discussed many times, and we'll say it again, even within the world of Hishtadlis, the actual exertion, it's still up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu how much exertion you'll even be able to do.
Right, so it's not only the end.
It's not only the end. It's not only the end. Good, I'm happy to bring it up. It's not only the end. These are like the big titles. 1, 2, 3. But even when you go in within, pick number two, Hishtadlis. Even number two can be broken down. Now, if you remember, I think it was 2 weeks ago, we were going through every moment by moment. Okay, let's go through it again. Number two, Hishtadlis, right? Remember, we set the alarm clock, try to get out of bed, get to shul on time. Remember this? And a person thinks, right, like David's bringing out, you might think, in this micro situation where I'm trying to get to shul on time, the bechir would be, I choose to go to shul, I'm choosing to get up on time, setting the alarm clock, getting to bed on time, and then waking up in the morning and trying to get dressed quickly is the hishtadlis. And then the actual getting to shul on time, that's at the end of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides that. That is one way to look at it. However, and we said this, we're going to chazer over, let's focus in on two, which is, we'll call it setting the alarm clock, getting to bed on time, getting up, and getting dressed, and getting in the car. There's many, many parts of the hishtadlis, right? Within every hishtadlis, those five parts, well, each one of those is a micro hishtadlis. So even if I go, I'm going to go set the alarm clock, okay? Setting the alarm clock has a choice, a hishtadlis, and a gemar. For example, I have to choose to set the alarm clock. Good. I have to then, number two, go and set the alarm clock, right? That's the execution, it's the hishtadlis. Three, whether the alarm clock works or not, what happens if it doesn't work? So Kodesh Baruch Hu decided that. What happens if I was so tired, I didn't even hear it? It's up to Kodesh Baruch Hu. So I'm happy David's bringing this up. Does this make sense? Within every part, or let's say the Hishtadlis part, that's the most important part here. Within Hishtadlis, when you look back and you see all the Hishtadlis one needs to do to get from the choice to do the mitzvah to the actual mitzvah, You could even take that large amount of hishtadlus, break it down into little actions, and even in that, there's three parts. The choice, the execution, and the gemar. It's very, 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 very important. Because we can make big mistakes and think, oh, that all the hishtadlus is on me, and then the alarm clock, I forgot to set it, that's it, oh, I'm such a loser, I'm game over, I can't believe I ordered in the first step of the hishtadlus, I couldn't even do it. But that might not be true at all. See, when it comes to bitachon, if you're living a life, everything in your world, if we can get to this place where everything is bitachon, everything, you're never bothered. There will always be things that come upon us that are very difficult, and we will get shaken around. That's fine. But in general, we're talking about mitzvahs here, right? If we get the bitachon head straight, the understanding straight, if we try, you have to try. But once you try, it's up to every single moment is really up to Hashem. Every moment is really up to Him. If that moment is going the way that you go, if that moment is going to go the way that you tried for it to be. And therefore you can, one second. And therefore you can release all the expectations, you can release all the responsibilities as long as you made that one moment of effort. Because the gemar of that moment is up to Kadosh Baruch Hu. You have to really think about it. Yeah, what does that say?
People want to listen to a little. Rebbe spoke about this from Rav Cook on Friday morning.
Oh yeah.
Are you living life with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or you're living life as a series of accidents?
Okay. Yeah. Everything we're saying here is aligned.
I'm just telling you.
Yeah, yeah. It's okay. So you have Rebbe Zamar Malcolm Friday Shir Rav Cook Ayaka.
What?
Ayaka?
Yeah.
Well, the Rav Cook is Ayaka.
Ayaka,
what's the song?
But he gave out a different handout.
Ah, okay. I'm saying this is, you know, the way of the tzaddikim was this way. We don't always learn about that. We always hear about the big avodas that they did. Oh, they were davening for 6 hours. They did this. They had to get there through total surrender, through bittul, bitachon. Yeah? So those are the three parts. I'm happy you brought that up. Good? Does that make sense? Very, very, very important. That's why sometimes we have to speak things out either to ourselves or other people, because we can get caught up. The second you take responsibility for a little bit more than HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you, right, we don't even realize, then you're already stressed. You're already stressed. That's you. Then you think it's on you. Of course we have to live with the shtalas. We have to be normal. We have to try. Obviously, you should try your best. But never taking an ounce more of responsibility than a Kadosh Baruch Hu gives. How do you know? We have to live life. We have to try our best.
Call you.
Call me. Where do I look this moment of my life? No. To try. Yeah, of course we have to try to always refine. We have to think about what we do. One of the most important things in life in general is thinking about our actions, doing a cheshbon and nefesh in a very basic way. What did I do today? How did it go? Could I do it better? That doesn't mean I want the day to have changed. Whatever happens for the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided. But could I put more shtadlus in tomorrow? Sure. That doesn't mean that whatever happened today was because I didn't put enough shtadlus in. And this, I know you're going to get bothered by this. We're going to talk about this afterwards. I already know. I see the turnings here. It's a hard concept. Every moment we have to look at it as I can choose how to live this moment, even though the past moments, that all is up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even though I can learn from the past moments what worked and what didn't work, doesn't mean it wasn't up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
By the way, Rabbi used the word when we spoke last week, we are partners with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That was easier to digest than it's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Okay. Everything we do, we're partners. Even the choice, level one, Bechira. Even though it's on me to choose, how do you even have a brain? How are you able to think? How'd you get to this place that you could even think like this? How'd you get to this age? Again, everything we've already learned. Up until this moment, the Kadosh Baruch Hu got you to this place, this moment. So if we're always partners, we're messengers. Even all the hishtalos that we do, it's still a partnership. Okay, let's learn here. I actually do want to try to finish this one little section. Here, page 167. This is where we're holding. 167. Therefore, oh, let's just read the Hebrew. Vim yivtach Elokim bebechiras avodaso v'yomar. Lo evcha v'lo echavin lasas klum mevodas abore. Ad sheyivcha li atov mimeno. If a person relies, meaning bitachon, if a person trusts and relies on God regarding his choice of divine service, should I daven today or should I not daven today? Let me wait to see if a Kaddish Baruch sends me a sign. Kaddish Baruch, if you want me to daven today, could you make a rain cloud come over and just make it rain? If you leave your bitachon to Kaddish Baruch in choices of mitzvahs, I'm not talking about gashmis right now, mitzvahs. And he says to himself, I will not choose or direct myself to perform any service of the Creator until he chooses for me the best way in which to serve him. Listen, if a Kaddish Baruch wants me to do something, he'll tell me. You know, he'll put an emergency, you know, be careful, earthquake coming, and you should get up and daven. He'll get that alarm, you know. He has already strayed from the proper path. If you're waiting for a Kaddish Baruch to tell you to get up and get out of bed, you're done. We already know you have to daven. And his feet have slipped from the correct way of serving God. For the Creator, may He be blessed, has already commanded us to choose the performance of mitzvahs. All of Torah mitzvahs, you get to choose. Do you want to do it? Do you not want to do it? If you don't, Hashem's going to maybe push you and prod you and poke you to the right choice, but really, it's still up to you. And to direct ourselves by making efforts, hishtadlus, and deciding to fulfill them wholeheartedly for the sake of His great name. Kaddish Baruch already told us that. He doesn't tell us that again. That's why we have a Torah. That's why we have a Torah. That's why we have Rabbanim. That's why we do the mitzvahs. And He let us know that this is the proper way for us to conduct ourselves to gain both in this world and the world to come. So the choice to do a mitzvah, and we'll see the hishtadlus, the exertion, the effort to do the mitzvah, that's on us. We cannot wait for a Kaddish Baruch Hu to tell us. He already told us. He says, if the means that make it possible to perform the mitzvah are available to us, you get it done. And we are able to execute on our divine service. Now let's break that line down for a second. It's very important. What did he just say? David, this is what you're talking about. If the means that make it possible to perform the mitzvah are available, meaning I could try to do a hishtadlus, I could try to set an alarm clock, but the batteries, there's no batteries in it. And I can't get any batteries right now. So I'm left with, and I didn't think about it till too late, I guess, to get the batteries. It only hit me now. You know what? It was 10 o'clock at night. I'm like, you know what? I really should start getting up and davening on time. I'd set my alarm clock. I'm going to go to the alarm clock. Of course, we have phones, but just imagine this for a situation. And you go to the alarm clock, and there's no batteries. So I tried to do the hishtadlus. I walked over to the alarm clock. There's no batteries. If the means that make it possible to perform the mitzvah are available to us, I mean, even the means has to be available to us. So Kaddish Baruch Hu decides the gemar of that means, right? That's what we were saying before. So if it is available to us, and we were able to set the alarm clock, and we're able to execute on our divine service after we chose to do it, so we actually did the mitzvah fully, then our reward will be great. We will receive reward for the following. What's the schar going to come from? The choice to observe the mitzvah. We get schar for choosing the bechira, because that's on me. The resolve to execute, the hishtadlus. I get schar for every ounce, every moment of hishtadlus I take to do the mitzvah that I chose to do. And three, if we do complete the mitzvah, I get schar for completing the act with our visible limbs. Why? HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided that that's how it works. When your limbs do a mitzvah, when a Kaddish Baruch allows your limbs to do a mitzvah, there's a certain zechus that your body had to do that mitzvah, which might leave an impression. I'm just giving an example. It might leave you an impression to be able to do it again. If you woke up, you tried to wake up early for davening, and you actually were able to get up, Kaddish Baruch helped you the whole way. Now your body has become conditioned to do it again, and to do it again. Mitzvah goreres mitzvah. But let's say Kaddish Baruch decided, you know what? He's not ready yet to wake up on time. I want to see more rotzen from him. So Kaddish Baruch, whatever, breaks the alarm clock. I don't know. Doesn't work. So then, we'll see in a minute. You're still going to get schar. But the completion of the act with the limbs, you didn't get. You're not yet conditioned to do that mitzvah. I'm just giving you one example.
You get the schar. Yes. Accepting what a kaddish. That's
also. Also, that we're not going to say that here, but 100%, 100%.
But it has to be true that you actually did everything you possibly could.
You're hishtadlus, and the Kaddish Baruch Hu knows.
And you really wanted to. As you
all the those. That's numbers 1 and 2. The Bechira and the Ishtadlis. Ishtadlis is not just physical. It's also with Ratzon, with a thought. Yeah, 100%. Kaddish Baruch Hu, if you would see the computer of a Kaddish Baruch Hu, how he calculates every single moment of our life, you'd go insane. It's much bigger than all the algorithms that you're doing in finance. Every second, every moment is a calculated. How much Ratzon this second versus that second? How much did you try? Everything. Nothing's lost from him.
In the system that we're learning here, where we say that every part three is up to Kaddish Baruch Hu, then we should not be getting in this
he system. Wanted you to get the schar. You get the schar because that's what he wants. I know what you're saying. You're saying we shouldn't get schar because it's up to him. No, he wants to give you schar.
I mean, in general, yes.
It's like, what do you mean? A kid goes to a parent, I want $1,000. Whatever, I don't know, whatever it is. $10. So when you give the kid the $10, let's say he didn't deserve it, but you want him to have it. So now he can go to the store and buy what he wants to.
He's saying in our system of Yiddishkeit, it's the effort, not the completion.
The effort is what we'll see. The effort. Of course.
I know all this. I'm just talking about this specific way that we're thinking about it.
I understand.
Now.
Yeah.
That's why I'm objecting.
You're bothered. You're bothered because if the completion of the act is totally out of our control, why should we get schar for it? Because God loves us and He wants us to still get schar, even though it was in His control.
That's called cheating.
Cheating? I did everything I had to do until now. So Kaddish Baruch Hu says, "Here, I'll give you a bonus." That's a cheating.
Maybe spoiling.
You're spoiling. Yes,
not spoiling. I did the effort. You're getting it wrong.
He's saying the extra you get for.
I know what he's saying. I don't think. Who agrees? No. You did the effort. You tried your best. Okay, I'll give you a mashal.
How do you define what the
schar
is, anyways?
Okay, a kid studies for a test. He tries his best. He decides, I'm going to study hard. He spends the amount of hours. He comes back with a 42. Now, you told him, if he gets a 90, let's just say, I'll give you $100. Whatever. Comes back with a 42. So don't give him the 100. That's it. Listen, you worked hard. You became a bigger person. You chose to do what's right. You became a bigger person. But I'm not giving you the money because you didn't get. What kind of father would do that? You saw the kid studying. Well, then lower the grades. I would give the kid, if I really saw he chose and he really put his efforts in. Maybe the teacher gave a ridiculously hard test. I don't know. I'll give him the schar for doing it. Again, there's many ways to say. So if we actually do the mitzvah, you choose to do the mitzvah number one, you did the ishtadlus number two, and the completion of the act, you will get schar for that. However, again, all these schars come out. That could be for a different time. We can give shiram on that, but you get schar. Everybody likes to hear schar.
By the way, the footnote is talking about transgression over here.
1 second, we're not there yet. The Sefer is talking about transgression. Give it a minute. Now, where are we holding here? If, this is very important, this is so important. If, however, 167, third to last line, if, however, the means with which to perform the mitzvah are withheld from us, you chose to do the mitzvah, you tried to do it, but it didn't go. Whatever, it didn't go the way you wanted, it didn't go. Then we will still be rewarded for both the choice, the bechira we made, as well as the resolve to execute all the ishtadlus that we put in, as mentioned above. You get everything that you tried to do. Some people don't live that way. Some people don't live that way. And if that's why they feel an extra pressure, there's a pressure, I have to perform. No, I have to do my best because this is what a Kaddish Baruch Hu wants me to do. And however much I get done, that's what's for me. You still get. Lo alecha hamalacha ligmor. But then Ben's going to come and say, V'lo ben, right? No, Ben Harun, you want to tell me about it? Of course, everything is based on Pirkei Avos. You could find, this is a little bit of a chiddush of mine, and I can't prove it necessarily, but every sefer in philosophy, Jewish, I don't know what you're going to call this. I don't know, philosophy, maybe it is. You'll find the Pirkei Avos if you know how to like learn it properly. This law lecham lecha ligmor. V'lota ben chirin li batel mimena. You're not a ben chorin to just say, I'm not going to do anything. So, right, Ben, we have to know what the difference between living in Geula and like a ben chorin like this person wants. He wants to throw everything off. Okay. One moment. Let's just finish off here. He says, V'chein ha'onesh al ha'avera. The last line just sneaks it in. Very important also. The same applies to the punishment for a sin as well. Which means, there's three parts to every avera. The choice to do the avera. There's the hishtadlus that you went to do the avera, whatever that avera was. And then there was the actual gemar of the avera. If a person, lo aleinu, completes the avera, he's going to be punished for all three parts. If a person does not complete the avera, he will still be he'll still be punished for the two parts.
It says no on the footnote.
I'm sorry, you're right. Let's say this again. You're right. If the third part of an avera is the completion up to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, if the third part's up to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and you didn't do it. If you didn't do it,
well, you had the intention, and you weren't successful at sinning. That's what
no.
It's
then
saying.
you get punished for that.
No, it said no.
Look at Kadosh Baruch Hu.
Let me think of this.
It only gives you the scar for all the preparation.
The person is liable for the intention to sin only after he sins, but he is not punished for the intent alone.
Okay, 1 second. Right. So
that's
why the Gemara says in Kedushin. The Gemara says in Kedushin that if a person just chooses, if a person thinks in his mind, Al machshava to do an avera, and it doesn't work, except for avodah zarah, he's not punished.
That's what it says.
Now, I didn't think about this. I forgot to think about this line. However, let's ask a question. If choosing to do an avera is my bechira, and the hishtadlus is my bechira, and let's say the completion, the maisa doesn't happen, let's just say. This is not right. I didn't read this note. Give me 1 second. This note here on the bottom right?
Yeah.
1 second. No. If a person has... I have to think about this afterwards. I see this note. I see what it's saying. Let's just stick with... I forgot to prepare this part. That doesn't resonate. Okay. We'll get back to that. But I want to make a point here. We'll get back to that. We still have next week. If we're getting schar for our bechira, yes? So for the numbers 1 and 2, even 3, but 1 and 2 becomes the ikker. That's for sure. If number 3, the execution is not fully on us, it's not our responsibility, Kadosh Baruch Hu decides, even though you will get schar if you complete it, you can't say that that's the main part. So otherwise, what's the point of doing any ishtadas? The ikker is the choice, the bechira, and the ishtadas. That's really where human effort is the main part of it. So therefore, it makes sense that numbers 1 and 2, we have to put effort into it. Meaning, if a person does a mitzvah out of rote, totally out of rote, he just gets up every day, he doesn't choose to do the mitzvah, he's done it 100 years already, he's davening, he's doing his thing, or whatever mitzvah, totally out of rote, saying the words, and he completes whatever he completed. Again, how to calculate cheshbon schar, we don't know. Whatever he completed, you get schar for. But think about it. The choice to do it was out of rote. The hishtadlus was out of rote. If our schar is going to be dependent on, mostly on that, shouldn't we put more effort into that area? Meaning, for example, we should choose to do mitzvahs every day. We should get up in the morning and say, Kadosh Baruch Hu, today I want, ani rotze, I want to serve you. I want to daven, and I want to learn. That would make the bechira, the choice, glow versus what sometimes we do. We just, out of rote, we just get up. Or when we're in the hishtadlus, right? We could do it out of rote, or we could put our efforts, right? Hishtadlus is many levels of effort. Effort doesn't just mean sitting in a chair, opening the sitter. That's a hishtadlus level 1. Saying the words with a little bit of intent. That's a shtadlis, a deeper level of shtadlis. Saying it with simcha, saying it out loud. That's a deeper level of shtadlis. And guess what? You get schar, mida keneged mida, for exactly what you put in, you will get out.
They told me 20 years ago.
Oh, boy.
They asked me the question.
Well, under this, yeah, no.
When I was starting this whole project of Frumkeit, they said to me, which is better, to do a mitzvah because you're commanded or because you want to do it?
Commanded.
They said commanded. Right? They gave the example of tzedakah. If the guy does it because he's commanded, he'll do it next year. The next guy, guy who does it because he wants to, he may not always give. Instead, it'd be commanded.
But what happens if you want the command?
Right, that's what I'm asking. That's exactly what I'm asking.
Without getting to the sukkah, because even that is to be, just say that in a very general way that's not so simple, but that's because it's, like we said last week, parenthetically.
But you put it in those words. That's what I was asking.
Yeah, you could want the command. That's the main thing. Hashem commands you. It's the best for you. And I want to do that, as hard as it may be. That's the best.
But I'm just saying you might get credit because it's rote, and this is what I'm supposed to
you
do.
You are going
to
get credit if it's rote.
But you're saying you get more if you...
I think so, no. If the schar is not size... You know, one size fits all.
Dove it. You said to your wife, I love you, honey. Every morning, I love you, honey.
What
you said,
do it.
Honey, I love you so much. What's it? How does she react to this one versus that one?
You're supposed to say, I'm sorry.
Yeah, but how did you say you're sorry?
You didn't mean it.
Did you say I'm sorry every morning? Or did you say I'm really... No, but everything's like that. That's 100%. So where we could put our Hishtabas in...
Never having to say I'm sorry.
That was good as well.
I see we need another shear. I see.
And then bring the shine.
All right, Shalom Bayis next week. Emirat Hashem. Okay, I'm going to look back on that line. I have to think about that. Mitzvah will continue next week a little bit more about this sugyo, how the responsibility of mitzvahs differs from the responsibility of gashmias. If at the end of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides what happens, bottom line, in both ruchnis and gashmias, then what is really the difference between ruchnis and gashmias? That's for next week.